Yeah, my paper is titled.
Call the House Committee on Health Care to order. And announce we will carry over Senate Bill 1047 to Wednesday. And open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 1003. Do we have a testimony list, but...
No, I just have...
Ms. Munar, are you going to kick it off for us? 1003?
Well, Sean Miller and...
Sean, you, who else?
Senator Monta Sanderson was scheduled to come. I don't know if she's just waiting.
Okay. Do we want to see if she's around? Would you call the senator and tell her we're...
Yeah, I'll do it, sir.
Good.
Sean, please say it.
Why don't we, just hold on just a second and see if, let's, if you will, let's stand at ease for a moment and see if Senator Monta Sanderson will be joining us.
Senate Bill 1003, and we have Senator Monta Sanderson with us. Kick off.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Senator Lori Monta Sanderson, representing Senate District 25, Gresham Troutdale Wood Village in Fairview. I'm delighted to bring forward to you I consider it a business bill. In 2007, the legislature passed House Bill 3321. And that bill actually gave more flexibility to insurers in selling association health plans, which was meant to help more small business provide affordable health insurance. The bill required that associations maintain a 95% retention rate. This is done to help ensure that cherry picking did not occur. And of course, you all know that cherry picking is companies would not exclude businesses that had older or higher risk employees. However, because of the economy that we're in, businesses are struggling to maintain coverage for employees, and association plans are struggling or have failed to maintain their 95% retention rate. What Senate Bill 1003 would do is the insurance division would grant an exemption from the 95% retention rate requirement for an association plan according to the rules adopted by the director. So it isn't that we would just allow them not to have the 95% retention rate, that they would actually ask a waiver from the insurance divisions. I feel strongly that our small businesses need assistance in these tough economic times. Many are struggling, and this bill will help many of our businesses maintain the workforce that is in existence now and also maintain their health coverage. And with that, I will turn it over to the gurus of this bill. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator. Thanks for coming down.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Teresa Miller. I'm the administrator of the Insurance Division at the Department of Consumer and Business Services. And Senator Mona Sanderson, I think, did a very good job of just explaining the basics of the bill. I'd just like to provide a little bit of background. I know a lot of the committee members here today, I'm not sure most of you were around for the discussion about House Bill 3321, which happened a couple of sessions ago, so I thought I'd just give a brief background about that. In the area of group health insurance, we generally look for ways to group people together in large enough pools so that healthcare costs are spread broadly and insurance is as available and affordable to as many employers as possible. To accomplish this, Oregon's rate regulation requires insurers to treat all small employers, and these are employers with 2 to 50 employees, as a single pool for purposes of setting rates. The benefit to an employer of this is if an employee of that employer gets sick or has high health care costs, it won't result in that employer's rates skyrocketing. Rates can vary based only on certain factors, and we limit the range in rates so that the highest rate charged one employer is no more than 3 times the rate charged another employer. So again, the whole goal is to spread the risk as broadly as possible. In 2007, the legislature passed House Bill 3321, which was intended to resolve issues about how these small group rating laws apply to association health plans. The bill exempts association health plans from these small group rating laws if they meet certain requirements that were intended to ensure that these association health plans don't cherry pick or provide less expensive coverage to those healthier groups, leaving the less healthy groups to buy coverage in the general market. The problem with that is that it leads to a less healthy general market and increases costs for those left purchasing coverage in that market. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to answer any questions, and I know Sean may have some testimony as well.
It would be helpful if you could describe, is the stuff on page 4 of the bill that's added to...
I can go through that, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, the question is that simply a restatement of what's on page 6,
yeah.
Simply putting it in a different place?
Mm-hmm.
It looked that way, but
yeah.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Again, I forgot to ask you, as I
no.
should.
No. Please, Sean. Go
ahead. Mr. Chairman.
I also do want to remind Ms. Miller that when this original bill passed, it was stuck up in this committee looking for some clear answers and instead moved around this committee to a different committee. I do remember it. Sometimes referred to as rolling us on this one.
I don't keep grudges.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Sean Miller. I'm here today on behalf of the Associated Builders and Contractors and the Independent Electrical Contractors, and I guess waving the flag for the business community who has association health plans. I know there's other members on this letter, Associated Oregon Industries as well as Associated General Contractors, but particularly in 2007 when this bill did pass, I think most of the associations were under the impression that we would be, easily fall within that 95% retention rate. And I think with the economy and some of the what we ended up seeing is businesses, even if we're shopping more, obviously, because of the economy and trying to save any amount of money, obviously keeping the same amount of health coverage, so there was more shopping in the market going on, and so they were moving. And what we found was that a lot of folks, even if they had very good loss ratios with associations, were moving, or if they could save just a little bit of money, would do it and move to another carrier, counting against our retention rate. So what we saw in the construction industry in particular is we saw all of the construction trades groups were falling under that 95% retention rate. And so we approached the division late last year worried that our association plan was going to be lost, because if you do fall below that 95% retention rate for two consecutive years, you actually lose your plan. And so what we ended up having to do is we would have to, literally, when we found this out, we had about a month and a half period where we'd have to go back, requote those employers, because they would all be thrust into the small group market. So what we found, when the insurance company that had our association health plan would have to take their association members and put them into the small group plan, the range of increases were somewhere between 15 and upwards to 63% higher in health care costs. And so than what they would have got just by renewing the health plan. And so then the question came up, okay, well, are we cherry picking? I mean, that was the original intent of the 95% retention rate. So we approached the division and we just gave them our numbers and say, here's the reason why people are moving around. And clearly we're not cherry picking. I mean, we associations generally try to keep, you know, people have a lot of pride of being involved in an organization and being part of that health plan. But again, the market was affecting this retention rate. And we found when we gave the experience reports to the insurance division that we were having folks with loss ratios of 704%, which is obviously a bad loss ratio, staying with our association, and then people with 30 to 20% loss ratios moving around and leaving. Again, counting against our retention rate. So when you look at the numbers, if we were cherry picking, we were doing a very, very poor job of it. And so so then we approached the idea of having a variance or a way to go to the division, look at these numbers and say, because of the law, do we want to disrupt the market? Do we want to just take these people out of an association plan and just thrust them into higher health care costs? And I think the answer is no for all of us, because we all want affordable health care. And so we then settled on the language that you see within the bill that allows the director of DCBS to look at this kind of information, put the rules in place to still make sure that we're not cherry picking the original intent of the bill, but obviously not have us lose our plan and disrupt the market when clearly there's no cherry picking going on. It's a fine balance, and we think that should be left within the division, insurance division. So again, I think to Mr. Chair, your specific points on page 3 of the bill, the language that gives the director an exemption to the 95% retention rate after looking at this information is in line 7 and 10. That's really the only new language, except for on page 4, lines 12 through 45 are actually restating existing language statute. However, in lines 41, there was one added line, and that is just to clarify the participation when someone is no longer involved in with an association. If they fail to pay their dues or their premiums, that's not counted against the retention rate. That was the original intent of the bill that passed in 2007, and that's just a clarification. So those are the only two additions to the bill. And again, we're here for your support, and would ask the committee to move the bill today. And I'm happy to ask or answer any questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Despite having dealt with 3321 in 2007, I'm still struggling to understand it and how this would affect it. How is the retention rate calculated? What's the
Mr. Chair, Representative Cannon, the retention rate looks at the number of employer groups that leave the association health plan, but there are certain, and I'm sorry, I don't think I have the list in front of me, but there are certain exemptions in the statute that don't count against that retention rate currently. So you take everybody that left, but then you take out some of those people and you don't count. Like if the business closed, that doesn't count against the retention rate, for example.
Can we follow up, Mr. Chair? So it's by business group, not by covered life. That 95% reflects 95% of the businesses that participated in the association's plan,
Mr.
not
Chair,
95% of the lives.
Can it right.
Okay. I may have more as the discussion proceeds.
Senator Kotek?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just curious when we pass this or if we pass it, how long will the administrative rule making take? How long, to get, because obviously we've got folks struggling now to get, do you have an anticipated timeline?
Mr. Chair, Representative Kotek, we would plan to do this immediately. We have also been in contact with insurers, though, about those associations that are impacted currently and have tried to work something out so that they won't be impacted. But we will get the rules in place just as quickly as possible.
Thank you.
Well, let me try a couple. What? You're not proposing a different rate. You're simply keeping 95% and then being able to ask for waivers, but you could be in permanent waiver in that case. Is that right?
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, no. The way I read the bill is if, and the intent of what we're trying to get is if let's say you fall below that 95%, and actually I had one association with a 94%, which I think is a good retention rate, but yeah, it would fall under this. Then in that first year, and before you hit that second year, you would go to the division and say, here's our numbers. You know, are we complying with the intent of the law and not cherry picking? If the director says, yes, you're fine, then we would not trigger that second year or trigger a loss in that plan for that second year. But I think down the road, if you continue to do that, we're still going to have to present that information to the division. So I don't think it wouldn't be permanent. It would be an ongoing, and I really view this as a problem because of the recession. You know, you look at how the number, and again, when you look at the folks really impacted, the construction industry was hit pretty hard with the recession. And a lot of folks were even, associations were very close even to the 95% retention rate. So we still feel that I think when things come back, hopefully this isn't an issue in the future.
Where is it in the statute that talks about cherry picking?
Mr. Chair, the statute doesn't talk about cherry picking per se, but what it does, and I think in my testimony I've given several points, The statute does talk about, and I think it's actually in different places in the statute, it talks about the association needing to meet certain requirements. The association health plan can't exclude small group employers that meet membership requirements. So there's various pieces of the sort of prevention of cherry picking, if you will.
And that's not the only function. There are other requirements. Are they asking
besides
the ability
the
to waive the other, besides the 95%?
Correct. Correct. Okay. This is just one piece of those requirements.
And you're not asking for, say, it could now be 30% or something, and you could waive it, right? There isn't any?
Mr. Chair, there's nothing in the law that would say, that would give us a hard percentage. It would just allow us to waive that 95% requirement.
Without any guidelines about how you ought to waive it?
Mr. Chair, we would plan, if this bill passes, we would be putting in place rules that would talk about those standards that we would use to implement this waiver.
But you're not testifying as to what those standards might be?
No, I'd be happy to talk to you a little bit about what those would look like in terms of what we would be looking at to grant a waiver.
That'd be good, but let's let Mr. Rules testify first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Betsy Earls, representing Associated Oregon Industries. AOI also has an association health plan that had some concerns about the 95% retention rate in the last 18 months or so. As you know, we have a number of manufacturing members who have experienced serious cuts to their workforces and to their profitability, and some of those, have had to drop out of their membership with us. There was a great deal of concern that by dropping out of their membership with us, they wouldn't still be able to be in the health plan if they were, you know, not in our membership. But we didn't want those people to count against us in terms of our retention rate, as if we had let them go from the association or the plan in order to cherry pick. So in our situation, the possibility of coming in below the 95% retention rate was purely a factor of the economic situation in Oregon, and that was why we wanted to have some of the changes made in the statute that you're seeing now.
You keep talking about cherry picking also, and that's, I mean, there's nothing in the bill that talks about cherry picking. This is,
Mr. Chair, I think when we worked on the original bill, the former insurance administrator was greatly concerned that we were cherry-picking, although I'm not sure that there was evidence that anybody was. And we heard cherry-picking so many times in 2007 that...
Okay. I'll give an example,
Mr. Chairman. Back in 2007, I believe why the issue was put forward and the past insurance commissioner pushed the bill in 2007 was there was an out-of-state, there has been some out-of-state insurance.
Insurance commissioner didn't push the association bill. The insurance commissioner was pushing a bill about different size groups being involved in regulation of the insurance division.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he opposed the bill before this committee.
Yeah, well, and there was some examples that were used at the time of people coming in and trying to get good risk, pick good risk into their insurance pools, and so our associations don't do that, and so there wasn't evidence at the time that there was doing it, but the 95% retention rate was something that was actually put out there to try to stop that, and that was the trigger.
Mr. Earls, would it have satisfied your need if another exemption was put in that exempted counting anybody who's left the association?
Mr. Chair, that was one piece that we particularly asked to have put in, but there are so many reasons that an association might not meet 95% that it seemed we originally talked about removing the requirement entirely, and the insurance division wasn't comfortable with that, so we decided to go with a more flexible approach of having rules written that would have specifics in the rules about why a plan might be waived from meeting the rate. So I think to answer your question, that one piece about the paying the dues is important to us, but I don't think that it would completely fit the...
Well, that's the issue of paying the dues to the association, not paying for the health insurance.
Right. That was what happened in our situation in the last 18 months.
But let me understand this, and as I say, I'm harking back to our 2007 sessions where we didn't move the bill, it went somewhere else, so I'm having a little trouble. You have an association, and there are people can voluntarily join the health insurance plan or not join the health insurance plan. I think the Multnomah County Bar is one of those examples, I think, but you have an association.
Yeah.
And the firm voluntarily decides to join it or not, and you would think they would join it by getting price quotes from somebody and getting price quotes from the association, and then they say, oh, well, this year the association's cheaper, so I'll join the association. And next year when they get those price quotes, particularly if they have good experience, so the price might go down, they say, oh, well, it's not in my best interest to join the association. I'll go with XYZ plan. Now, where did the 95% come from if this is rational business behavior? So most of the people in these associations are rational businessmen and they'll go where it's the cheapest. So, I mean, if you start from the association from the assumption that they won't, and this model depends on the fact that they'll stay out of loyalty with the association, then there's a reason for that loyalty, and I don't think cherry picking is the only, I mean, that may have been what was on the commissioner's mind in those days, but I mean, what's special about the association? I mean, why shouldn't they be managed? The real question, you have associations, so they're not regulated by the same criteria that other small business plans are regulated by. Why should, if they're competing, the association bills are competing with other small business bills, why should the association get special preference in terms of regulation from the programs they're competing with and which everybody every year will say, association plan A, association plan C. Plan A and plan C are regulated in a different way by the insurance commission. The association is not. Now, why should the association have that preference except for this notion of we're all together, we stick in it together, we become a large group, it's a different... Maybe you can answer
that, Mr. Miller. Chair, I think if I understand your question, you're asking why did we pass House Bill 3321? Why do we allow associations to not fall under the small group rating laws in certain circumstances? So I think you're harkening back to basically the whole notion behind House Bill 3321.
I'm not. I'm assuming the committee that passed it was doing it for a reason. And they had criteria, and one of these major criteria was 95%. Now you want to pull 95% out of it, does that pull the house of cards down that was the reason. So let's say they come to you and say, well, it's only 30%. It was really tough, and the business was good out there. Still let us in again, because there's nothing that says they can't be in with 30%. Then, I mean, if you pull that out, why have association bills at all, except under the criteria that it was there for originally?
Well, Mr. Chair, I think the 95% retention rate is one of many factors that aims at preventing cherry picking. So I don't believe that doing what we're going to do, or what you may do by passing Senate Bill 1003, will pull down the house of cards, if you will. We, from the department's perspective, we wanted to make this a fairly limited bill, just because we didn't want to pull down the house of cards, if you will. So that's why we feel like if we implement rules that make it very clear that we're going to look to see if cherry picking is a concern, and if it's not, then waive that requirement. From my perspective, I'm comfortable that the rest of the requirements and protections that the legislature put in place a few years ago will still remain.
But there isn't anything about cherry picking in the bill. So that may not be, I wasn't in those hearings, that may not be what put these criteria together. And next year, if they come in for a waiver of another criterion, which one will pull up? I mean, which things make the essential nature of an association plan that doesn't get regulated by you in the same way that the small group market does?
Mr. Chair, there is one big provision that was passed in 2007 that we're not changing, and that was that an association cannot discriminate its membership requirements based on actual or expected health status. And so I remember that was a big discussion at the time, but there's also several other provisions in there that we're not asking to change. We actually think that is appropriate for the commissioner to regulate. And so again, you know, the discussion got back to in 2007, and you are correct, there's nothing in here about cherry picking, but this 95% retention rate was what the insurance division wanted to use in the bill to at least trigger a look to making sure people are not cherry picking. And that was the rationale at the time. And although we think that's very high, originally when we came in, we felt that, you know, why not 80%? Why not 70%? I mean, what is the appropriate? I don't think you can ask anybody what the appropriate percentage of a retention rate is good. All they wanted to know is what was a trigger. Unfortunately, the statute said if you triggered it twice, you're done. And so what we've said is we're not asking to have the insurance administrator not look at it. I think that's very appropriate. And when you show them the numbers of why people left, we feel confident that they'll make the right decision. All we're saying is let's not just do two strikes, you're out. Let's have them look at it and say, no, you're not cherry picking. You're doing exactly the letter of the law, and continue to have our associations do business the way they're doing and not disrupt the market, because clearly under the circumstances it would have been a disruption in the market. And I talked to these employers that were going to be quoted those, you know, upward 30-40% rates if they would have had to leave in a month's time, and quite honestly they said, I can't afford that. So what does that mean? Does that mean they cut their health care? And that's something we don't want, is less, more and more uninsured workers out there. And so that was the issue that we're really facing here, is how do we tell these employers, let's just throw you to the market and you're going to have to accept the rate increase. Now, maybe some of them could have shopped around and avoided that, because that's clearly, within their... but they didn't. They were given a very small time frame, because the way the law is structured now, you hit that 2 year, you're told on the second year that you're below, and then you're done. And so then, we're forced to react in a very short amount of time. We're saying let's move that up, and let the insurance division look at it and make the appropriate decision. You know, we wanted to get more specific in the law, and we didn't. we didn't feel, Mr. Chairman, in all honesty, that we had time. That's why we settled on a rulemaking proceeding. I think there is a bigger discussion that we're happy to come back next session if it doesn't, you know, if there's other issues that we want to explore in association health plans, and we're happy to do that. I know this is a very, very small fix to a bigger discussion, and we just did not want to disrupt the market.
Mr. Chair, the other thing I would just add, when we were approached by associations and insurers about the need for this change, one of the things I did is go back and research whatever I could find from Joel's files about what happened in the negotiations around the bill and where did this 95% come from. And as near as I can tell, the 95% was not a magic number. It was a number everybody agreed on, and I think insurers at the time thought that it was a number they could meet. And frankly, if we hadn't seen the downturn in the economy that we saw, I'm not sure we'd be here today. My sense is that it's really the economy that's driven this. So,
why is that? What's the dynamic by which the economy, I mean, this excludes people that drop out of the association. I mean, what I heard the argument was they're buying health insurance cheaper somewhere else and leaving the association plan because they got a better deal somewhere else. I mean, that's the testimony we have.
In some cases.
I mean, that's true with a good economy or a bad economy, isn't it?
I suppose that's true. I'm not sure if I'm trying to read these exceptions here. If somebody just moves to a different association, I think that counts against them, for example. So that counts against the retention requirement. So if they do just what you suggested and go to another association, that's being counted against you.
And what I was suggesting is they go to a small group rather than another association.
Mr. Chairman, there is examples of people that can actually get a better rate. I think it's a minority of people, but a better rate in the small group market. I think if you're in an employer class, maybe the age is, you know, the average age is a little higher, and you have employees, let's say they're all, you know, 18-year-olds, they can actually, in some kinds, if you quote, actually get a better deal in the same insurance company, but in the small group market versus the health plan. And we had those examples. And then the question that we had in our discussions is that cherry picking. And the insurance companies will say no. Why would they want to take somebody in their same company, put them in association into the small group market? So that is a series of shopping, which I think is not cherry picking. However, that does say, in that certain circumstance, they're going to save money by doing that. And so there's all kinds of circumstances like that that I think deserve more exploring. So your questions are very valid, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. Mr. Hughes? Still here? Will somebody check and see if Ted still wants to testify?
Do you want to stand at ease?
Yeah. We'll stand at ease for a moment.
I told her, like, sir.
I'm sorry. Please come back, and we are back in session. And I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1047 and open.
Yeah.
1033.
Okay. I will scratch everything I've set up till now. I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 10003 and open up a work session on Senate Bill 1047 and invite Senator Montes Anderson. We had some interesting, confusing testimony last time on this Senator, but I think we got it clear in our head, but anything you can do to help us would be useful.
I'm not sure I can help you. Good afternoon again, committee members and Mr. Chair. I'm Senator Lori Moniz Anderson in Senate District 25, Gresham, Troutdale, Wood Village, and Fairview. And I am here to testify in support of Senate Bill 1047. I think you all remember in 2009 session, House Bill 2116 created the 1% assessment of all Oregon health insurance premiums to fund health care for children. However, the law inadvertently required employers outside of Oregon to assess premiums for policies for their employees who reside in Oregon. And this creates a tracking problem, as out-of-state employers, they have to track and account for employees in Oregon, and the insurance division then must be able to track and audit assessments for policies written outside of the state. And these are not regulated by Oregon's insurance division. So basically, as you've probably already heard, Senate Bill 1047 would exempt health insurance policies delivered or issued outside of Oregon from the 1% assessment of the gross amount of the premium earned by an insurer. And it would apply to premiums earned by an insurer on or after October 1st, 2009. By inserting this date, out-of-state employers will not be forced to administratively account for these policies. We worked quite a bit on this during the interim because I wanted to make sure that there were not untoward consequences. And so we worked with the insurance division as well as with the insurers. And the state of Washington does assess. And so, like in the state of Washington, the insurers could be assessed twice for the same premium, and that's what we wanted to avoid. There's no data to say how much this would affect. We don't know about the gaming, but we come here every 2 years to try to take care of unintended consequences. So I am very comfortable with the bill as is, and then we will see what happens in the future.
Great. Are there questions of Senator Moniz Anderson?
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for testifying. We'll get this back on the agenda for Wednesday. Close the work session. Carry it over to Wednesday. Do I need to carry over 10:03 to have a work session on?
Mr. Chair.
I do. We'll carry over Senate Bill 1003 also to Wednesday, and those two items will be on the agenda on Wednesday for work sessions. And do you have any word that we've gotten any other bills?
Mr. Chair, I checked before the meeting started, and no, we have not received any other Senate bills at this point.
Okay, so we may have an easy week. We're adjourned.
Nice. Ooh, ooh. That was bad.